Hi everyone, this is Jordan.
And I'm Maya.
And today we'll be going over the events of the last week, sort of based on the testimony of the brothers from the first trial. This is just to say that like everything that they spoke about in the first trial basically came up in the second trial as well, and it's also the same story that they've both stuck to for however many years it's been now. Like, how many years has it been exactly? 1993, wasn't it?
Yeah, so almost 30, 29 years.
Yeah. Okay, trigger warning for this episode, guys. There'll be mention of suicide, sexual abuse, and child abuse.
Did you love your mom and dad?
Yes.
And on August 20th, 1989, did you and your brother kill your mother and father?
Yes.
Did you kill them for money?
Is that your answer?
No.
Did you kill them because you wanted to pay them back for the way they had treated you?
Excuse me, I reject that if you're waiting.
Overall. No.
Why did you kill your parents?
Because we were afraid.
Okay, so I think a good place to start with talking about these events is with the Kalamazoo trip. We've talked about this before, but Eric was in Kalamazoo, Michigan for a tennis tournament, and his uncle Brian and aunt Pat were there to watch, and there was an incident where Jose was berating Eric on the tennis court and screaming at him from the sidelines, and then Eric screamed back, "Shut up," at his father.
There's two different versions of this event. There's the version that comes from Pat Anderson, and there's the version that comes from Brian Anderson. It sounded like, from Brian's testimony, that he was basically trying to cover for Jose and to make it seem not nearly as bad. But when you hear Pat's testimony about the event, it's like, it's pretty bad. Jose, like, essentially dragged Eric off the court, right?
Yeah. Eric did not do very well at all in the tournament, and according to Eric, his father sexually abused him as a form of punishment.
That was also the time where I think Eric testified that on the drive back to the hotel, like, he had never seen, like, his father so livid that his father could, like, no longer speak.
Did he have an angry reaction when you lost in Kalamazoo?
Yes.
How is it different than the previous angry reactions when you lost?
Well, I've never seen him not be able to speak. He got so angry, and his muscles tensed up, and his face tensed up to such a degree that he could no longer talk.
And where were you when you saw this reaction of his?
I was in the car.
And the car going from where to where?
From the tennis court to my hotel.
And did you find that, what was your reaction to his getting so angry he couldn't even yell at you?
I was scared. I didn't know what he was going to do. I'd never seen that happen before.
I can't hear you.
I didn't know what he was going to do. I'd never seen that happen before. And what he was saying scared me.
What did he say that scared you?
He said that he was yelling and telling me how awful I had played, and telling me that everything that I had ever played for came down to this one tournament, which I failed, and that everything I had ever played in any match I had ever practiced for was meaningless now, because this was the tournament. This was the tournament. And it was my last junior national tournament. And he was telling me that I failed, and to the point where he could no longer speak.
So that's what he said before he could no longer speak?
Yeah.
And did you think that there would be serious consequences to his anger?
Yes.
Did you know what they would be?
No.
Around the time of this trip, Kitty's father was dying of cancer, and he lived in Canada, I guess in an area that was pretty close to Kalamazoo, or close enough that they were planning to go visit Kitty's father after this tournament. But after Eric lost the tournament, Jose was so furious that he told Eric and Kitty that they were going straight back to California from this tournament. I believe Jose told Kitty that she could go by herself, but she said that she didn't trust him.
Yeah, she wouldn't go on her own because she like always needed Jose to be in her sights. She didn't trust him to be on his own, basically.
Because of his many affairs.
Mm-hmm.
So they flew back to California on August 9th, which was a Wednesday.
So now that the family were all back in the Beverly Hills mansion, there was one conversation that Eric had with his father.
You were alone with him?
Yes.
And what did he, what was the conversation about?
It was about what I was going to do in college, after college.
It's about what you were going to do in college and...
After college.
Okay, and what, who was doing the talking? Were you telling your dad what you were going to do in college?
No, my father was telling me that after college, he wanted me to take business and economics as my major. And after college, he wanted me to take this, I guess, a special program at UCLA, this business law school program. That combined it in a certain amount of years, and then after that, he said that we were going to, or he was going to move to Florida. Right at the end of that, and we were all going to go into business. He was going to go into business with me.
Who's we all?
Lyle, Mom, me, Dad.
Okay, so he was telling you what your future was going to be.
Yes.
Is this the future you had planned for yourself?
No, but I mean, I hadn't really planned a future for myself.
You hadn't decided what kind of work or career you were going to do, had you?
No, I didn't know what I was going to do.
And was your father presenting this to you as an idea that he wanted you to think about, or was this a done thing?
No, this is what I was going to do. And that's why he was talking to me, because I needed to get the grades at UCLA to get into the program. And he was concerned about that. And so he was concerned about that, so he was telling me that I was going to have to really, really, really work hard to get the grades, and therefore my tennis was going to have to drop.
Okay. And what did he mean by your tennis was going to have to drop?
Just that he wasn't sure whether or not I was going to be playing on the team, and he hadn't decided yet whether or not I was going to be playing tennis at all. I guess it depended on the grades I was getting. My sense was that he hadn't decided, but he wasn't going to let me play tennis anymore.
See, like, do you think that was something that Jose did because of what he had learned from Lyle's issues with Princeton, or do you think it was you weren't good enough to be number one, so I'm not going to let you pursue this career anymore, even though it's what I've been training you to do since, like, the day you were born, basically?
Yeah, I don't know. It probably... Maybe it was a combination of both, because, like, it seemed like he knew that his father didn't expect him to, like, become a professional tennis player, or that, like, that wasn't part of his plan. But maybe Jose thought that if Eric was good enough, like, it would be better if he was a professional tennis player, like winning tournaments to like bring the family success or whatever. But when he didn't win the Kalamazoo tournament, Jose was like, well, okay, you're gonna have to go into business then.
That's quite surprising, actually, because like that's what he wanted for Lyle, right? But if I'm recalling correctly, didn't Eric perform better at that tournament, or like at recent tournaments around the age of 17 and 18, than Lyle did at the same time when he was that age?
Yeah, Eric was a better tennis player than Lyle was.
Like later on, right? Like when they were, I think that when they were younger, Lyle was the stronger player. But as Eric got older, I think he performed better than Lyle did in tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was something that he wanted to do, because he idolized Lyle so much that eventually he poured so much energy and time into it to prove to, I think, maybe his dad and also Lyle that he could be like just as good as Lyle. Because wasn't it, didn't Dr. Burgess say that whereas Lyle viewed Eric as the younger brother, Eric viewed them more as like twins?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, maybe it has to do with what we talked to Dr. Burgess about, where tennis was like an escape for Eric, so he was just like pouring so much more energy into it than Lyle was.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting because I think in that conversation, I remember Eric testifying that in some ways he was relieved that he wasn't going to have to play tennis anymore because of the amount of pressure that he was under from his father to like win all the time.
Yeah, didn't he say it was like a bit of a mix? Because on one hand, he was happy that there was going to be like no pressure from tennis, but on the other hand, like it was something that he did enjoy doing.
Yeah.
Like on some level. What day is the next conversation?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a Sunday, so it would be the 13th of August. It was around that same time, like right after they had gotten back from the Kalamazoo trip. And this was the conversation where Jose told Eric that he would have to spend 3 nights a week living at home when he was in college.
He told me that I was going to be staying home a few nights a week, that I was going to have my bedroom where it was, and it was going to be my bedroom, and that he wanted me to come home and eat and study with him several nights a week so that my grades would stay up and that he would be able to keep apprised of what was going on.
Now, was that a significant piece of information for you?
Yes.
And how did you react to hearing that he expected you to sleep at home?
I asked him what he meant. What he meant I was going to be staying home with my bedroom there and so on. And he said that I was going to be sleeping home several nights a week so that I could, at dinner or after dinner, go over my work with him. And I couldn't accept what he was saying.
What do you mean you couldn't accept it? You said, no, Dad, I'm not going to do that. Is that what happened?
No, I just kept asking him what he meant. I couldn't accept what he was saying.
Why?
Because he was saying I was going to have to live at home as well as living at college, and
What?
I didn't expect that.
Okay, you didn't expect that. Did you like that idea?
I hated the idea.
Why?
Because my entire dream had been to go to college and to leave home, and for the last several years, all I thought about was going to college, and suddenly he was telling me that I was going to be living at home, and that
what did you think that meant with respect?
Why don't you let him finish the answer? Have you finished your answer?
No.
Go ahead.
And he was going to be telling me that I was going to be living at home and that the sex was going to continue.
Did he say the sex is going to continue?
No, he didn't say that, but that's what I knew it meant.
That's what you believed it meant?
Yes.
And how did that make you feel?
It made me feel lost. It made me feel like it made me feel like the hope that I had was gone, and that suddenly this was gonna continue throughout college, and I felt like I was crumbling. I felt like nothing mattered anymore, that it was gonna continue.
This like kind of just destroyed everything for Eric, because he viewed college as his getaway, as his like rescue fantasy, right? So being told that, like, in Eric's mind, oh, it's just going to continue and I'm still going to be living at home, sort of like it's so completely defeating. And then that's when he became suicidal, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, people often say, like, well, they could have left. Like, for Eric, his going to college was his opportunity to leave. And I think that, like, he never really considered any other way that he could end the abuse.
Yeah. I think this is something that's, like, really hard to, like, get people to understand with abuse victims, is that, like, it's just psychologically, they can't conceive of any, like, realistic option because of, like, a multitude of reasons. It could be because they're financially dependent on their abuser, or because they fear that their abuser will hurt them, or in this case, kill them. I'm gonna mention like another side thing here, but I think it's a really interesting case. God, what was it called? Do you remember the case that happened in the UK like a, f- quite a few years ago now, where there was like an abusive father, and like the family dynamic, there were some similarities to the Menendez family, actually. And the two eldest sons had like grown up and left the house, and they were living somewhere else, but the wife and the daughter were still living in the home with the father. And essentially the two brothers were like, okay, when dad has like left the house, like, we're gonna come and get you, and we've bought you like a new apartment, we'll move you in there, and you won't have to see him again, basically. And when they did that, I think their father tracked them down and killed both of them. And I remember seeing an interview with one of the brothers, and the interviewer is saying, this is why people are afraid to leave, because this is what happens when you try and escape an abuser, basically, without any help.
Yeah, I remember that case. I remember you sending it to me. I just looked it up. It's Lance Hart.
Yeah. But that right there, I think, is like a perfect example of when people say, oh, well, they could have just left. Their father isn't going to track them down and kill them. Well, there are plenty of real-life examples of that happening.
Yeah. And also, if you're, you know, living with an abuser who is constantly telling you that he's always going to be able to find you and that, like, you'll never escape him, I don't think that it's, like, unrealistic for a person to actually believe that, especially if they've been told that for most of their life.
Yeah. So all in all, like, it's not surprising that after this conversation, Eric's rescue fantasy was completely destroyed.
After this conversation, Eric tried to go stay at a friend's house for a few days. So he went up to his room and started packing a bag. But Kitty went into his room and basically was like, what are you doing? You're not leaving this house.
She looked at what I was doing and she said, where the hell do you think you're going? Mm-hmm. And I said, just for over a friend's house for a few days. And she said, no, you're not. And she just started throwing the clothes out of the duffel bag. And
what did you do?
I just watched.
And what happened after that?
She screamed and said a few more things about how I wasn't going to leave. And then she ran out of the room.
She ran out of the room?
Marched.
Marched?
She ran and marched out of the room.
She left the room in a hurry?
Yes.
What kind of emotional condition was she in when she left?
She was very angry.
And after your mother left the room angry, did someone else come to your room?
Yes.
And who was that?
My father.
And did he say anything to you?
Yes.
What did he say?
He asked me if I had a problem, and he asked me what I thought I was doing, and he pushed me against the window, and I came up real close, and he said, are you planning on going somewhere?
And what else, if anything, what were the other things he said?
He told me that he was leaving this week and that I had better be there when I get back. When he gets back.
Okay.
He said that he was leaving that week and that he would deal with me then.
Deal with you when?
When he got back.
And what did that mean to you?
I figured what it would mean. I figured that it would mean that he would punish me in some way.
Mr. Menendez, you have to sit back. You keep popping the mic. Try to sit back.
I figured that it would mean he would punish me in some way, and the way he always did.
That's what, like, Eric just gives up after that, right?
Yeah. I think part of it is that, like, he didn't conceive that he could go against his parents' orders. Like, I don't think he even thought that he could just not be there when Jose got back and that it would be fine.
Because that's what they did. Like, their parents told them to do something. They did it.
Right. Yeah, and it was at that point that Eric became suicidal.
Oh, one interesting thing I, like, remembered was when Eric is talking about this time period in his testimony, I think Leslie asks him, like, did you consider killing your father? And he says, no, not at that time.
Well, what did you consider?
I considered just killing myself.
Did you consider killing your father?
No, not at that time.
And I remember, like, the prosecutors didn't cross-examine him on that. Like, what did you mean, not at that time? Okay, so I think, like, the next significant event in the week would be on the Tuesday when Lyle and Kitty are arguing.
Like we've talked about, like, Lyle and Kitty have a terrible relationship.
Probably, like, the definition of toxic.
Yeah.
You know, when my mom goes off, she talks about your whole life. She brings everything into it. You're born and ruined her dreams, and just your tennis take ruined her life, and you're ungrateful, and it's spoiled, and it just builds. And she works herself into this frenzy where she's just completely out of control and will grab things and throw them. And this conversation, she was out of control right away. And she had been out of that way for since she had gotten back, very down, angry, cold, and then just these explosions. And at this point, I was trying to have a conversation with her because she was in the den and seemed a little more relaxed, but she just exploded and about something about my hairpiece.
What did she do?
At some point, she was moving toward me, and I kind of put my arms up because she flails with her fists sort of wildly, and she reached and she grabbed my hairpiece, and she just ripped it off.
And what happened when she ripped it off? How did it feel?
Well, it was pain, because you're supposed to use this blue chemical to detach it, and you can rip it off. But, you know, I looked in the mirror, my head was welling up, and that was my eyes had tears in them from the pain more than the embarrassment. And
why were you embarrassed? Your mother knew you had a hairpiece, didn't she?
She knew, yeah.
What was embarrassing about this?
Just, you know, being there in the house without it and her having ripped it off was just unbelievably embarrassing. And then my brother was there also.
When did your brother come in?
I'm not sure when he came in or if he was already in the house, but he was standing by the doorway when I started going toward her to get the hairpiece back, and she threw it back to me.
Were you embarrassed in front of your brother?
I was completely embarrassed in front of my brother.
So what did you do?
So I went back to the guest house where I live to put it on.
I guess we haven't really talked about that Lyle wore a hairpiece. When did he first start wearing it? He was like 14 or something, right?
I think around that age, which is a bit young to be using a hairpiece.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it's almost like could be a sign of like abuse that he was losing his hair at age 14 to the point that he would need to wear a hairpiece. Actually, I think that he started losing his hair around the age of 14, but then he didn't wear the hairpiece until like 18. Anyways, in Lyle's testimony, he says that he doesn't remember how this argument started, but we'll probably go into this in more detail another time, but essentially Eric's therapist, when he first got to jail, his name is Dr. Vickery, there was a whole thing in the second trial that there were some of his notes from his sessions with Eric that he didn't testify about. And one of those notes was that Eric said that Jose was not going to pay for Lyle's hairpiece anymore. So I think that it's likely that the argument was about the fact that Jose wasn't going to pay for Lyle's hairpiece anymore. And that's why Eric told that to Vickery.
I mean, I feel like that would explain a lot, because in Eric's testimony, when he's talking about walking in on the conversation, doesn't he say that he heard Kitty say, like, you don't need your effing hairpiece, and so that kind of lines up with that.
Yeah. Although, and I do think it makes sense that either the brothers' lawyers told them not to say that that's what the argument was about, or the brothers decided that they were gonna just say they couldn't remember that, because I think that the prosecution could have used that to be like, oh, this is all about the money, because your father wasn't going to pay for your hairpiece anymore, and that's, like, proof that you were mad at him about financial stuff, and therefore you killed him for money.
Yeah. On the Tuesday, Eric didn't really specify where he was coming from, right? He just said that he was like, he came back to the house, and as he was walking into the foyer, he could hear shouting, and then he heard Lyle arguing with their mother.
He was just saying, I need it, and she just took a hold of his hair and just ripped it off.
What did you think at that point?
I didn't know what to think. I couldn't believe it. I didn't understand at first, and then it hit me, and then I realized, and I...
What didn't you understand? What hit you? What'd you realize?
Well, she just pulled off his hair, and I knew he had something done to his hair, but I didn't know what, and within a moment, I realized that it was a hairpiece, but I just couldn't believe it.
At first, what did you think it was?
I thought it was his hair.
Yeah, she was ripping off his scalp, basically.
Yes.
So when you saw your mother ripping his hair off, did you react?
Yeah, I was pretty shocked. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it.
Like, Eric seeing Kitty rip Lyle's hairpiece off was sort of a catalyst for him to open up to Lyle about what had been happening to him.
I think it was seeing his brother, like, be so vulnerable in that moment, which kind of prompted him to open up about something that, like, he was vulnerable about himself.
Yeah.
Because I think the way Eric describes it in his testimony is that, like, even though, like, they were close, he knew that there were things that he would never tell Lyle, and that there were things that Lyle would never tell him. As Eric follows Lyle towards the guest house, I think, doesn't he see Lyle in the bathroom, like, fixing his hair?
Yeah.
And then I think Lyle was, like, annoyed and embarrassed at the same time, and then, like, ushered him out, right?
Eventually he, like, came out of the bathroom to talk to him.
I was telling him that, that things in the family didn't seem to be going so well, and it seemed to be, a lot of secrets, and that people seemed to be getting apart, and that I didn't want that to happen between Lyle and I.
And what else did you say?
Just that I loved him, and that I didn't want his relationship and mine to separate.
And then did you start talking about something that you were feeling badly about?
Yes. I remember asking him if he remembered a conversation that he had with Dad when he was a lot younger, when I was 11.
And did he respond?
Yeah, he said he didn't know what I was talking about. And I asked him several times if he remembered anything about conversation that he had had with Dad or conversations that he had had with me about things that Dad was doing to me. And he said that he didn't know what I was talking about.
So eventually, did you clarify what you were talking about?
Yeah.
What did you say?
I told him that things between Dad and I were still happening, and that he kept asking what I was talking about.
So
and
did you tell him what you were talking
finally
about?
Finally, I told him. I told him that they were just sexual things.
Sexual things?
Yes.
Now, why did you tell him that? Why did you bring that up?
Because I was feeling really, really depressed and really down, and I didn't know what to do at the time. So I figured I'd tell Lyle and maybe he could help me.
And I believe, like, Lyle, like, was just mad at first at Eric.
I said, how come you didn't tell me before? I said a lot of nasty things to him, basically.
What did you say to him?
I asked him if he liked it. I asked him why he didn't tell me a long time ago. I asked him why he didn't fight back, because he said that Dad was forcing him. And he was just crying. He had no answers for any of it. Just crying.
Were you mean to him?
Unintentionally.
But you were mean?
Yes. And that made me... I was feeling extremely guilty.
Why were you feeling guilty?
I was feeling guilty because I hadn't, the 13-year-old conversation I had just sort of let go And I never really followed up on it. I didn't really want to follow up on it. I was so happy it went that well with my dad, and I just kind of let it go. And he told me this, and I was kind of like, and he didn't say that, but I felt like, you know, why didn't I do anything about it?
Like, what? He was blaming you somehow?
Maybe. He wasn't, but I felt that way.
Were you blaming you?
Yes. And also feeling guilty when I asked him if he liked it. And
what did he do when you asked him if he liked
it? I was angry. What?
What did he do when you asked him if he liked it?
What did he do?
Yes.
He said, of course he didn't like it. And he just, I don't remember exact words, but
he was
crying. And I told him, you know, I believed him. And I did believe him.
I mean, I think Lyle initially was just kind of in shock.
Yeah.
But then after a while, he kind of calmed down and told Eric that he would talk to Jose and get it to stop.
Did you want to do something to help him?
Yes.
And did you think up a solution? I mean, did you have an idea of how you were going to handle this?
Yes.
What was your idea?
Just to tell my dad the same thing that I had done before, that, you know, obviously didn't work, but I was able to talk to him about it. Basically, I told my brother, and we discussed it, and I told him that I felt I could sit down with Dad when he came back, and essentially, you know, we held all the cards, and if I needed to, you know, I could threaten to tell people.
What do you mean you held all the cards?
Well, insofar as that I could threaten to tell people. Obviously, this is something that would ruin my dad. And I was making him we were going to make a great deal with him. I was going to go in there and just say all we wanted was for Eric, for it to stop, obviously, and then for Eric and I to go to the same school. And that's it. And, you know, no retaliation, nothing of that sort, no exposing him, which I knew would be his number one concern, really only concern. And he knew I could do that, obviously. He would know that. And so I really felt if I just mentioned it to him that I knew and that it was going to stop, and if I was forceful and I wasn't weak with it, he would have no choice.
Essentially, yeah. Like, he had this sort of image that he was going to go in and make this, like, great deal with his dad and, like, everything would be fine. And I think the way he describes it is that, like, they held all the cards, which was it Dr. John Conti who said that it was, like, kind of, like, overly optimistic and, like, it was as if, like, Lyle was underestimating his dad, right?
Yeah. And also, Eric agreed with Lyle, but he knew that there was a lot more to the sexual abuse that he wasn't telling Lyle.
And did he seem confident when he said these things?
Yeah, he seemed really optimistic, too optimistic.
Did you feel as optimistic as he seemed?
No, I was trying to tell him, you know, Dad's going to be a little bit more upset than you think. Dad's not going to be too happy about you telling him this information. And he said, no, don't worry about it. It'll be okay. It'll be fine. And he was really... I was just trying to warn him, but not too much.
What do you mean you weren't trying to warn him too much?
Well, I was really afraid that if I told him all that was happening, that he might not talk to Dad and just leave me there. And so I didn't want him to get worried about it, that Dad might react badly. So I wanted to just tell him that Dad might not like what he's going to tell him. And I wanted Lyle to understand it a little bit more, but I didn't quite want to tell him.
What was it you didn't want to tell him? Was there something your dad had said to you repeatedly?
Yes. I didn't want to tell him that Dad said he would kill me if I ever told anyone, and he was serious, and I just thought it might scare him off.
Scare who off?
Lyle off.
So you didn't tell him that?
No.
I believe Lyle says in his testimony that, like, thinking back on it, like, he would have just left and taken Eric with him without saying anything if he knew that, like, his dad had made those threats.
One thing that kind of corroborates Eric feeling suicidal after, like, his father told him that he wasn't going to be able to live at college anymore is that Eric called his therapist, Dr. Azeel, who we haven't really gotten into him, but he becomes an important player in this case. But Eric called him on either the Monday or Tuesday after this conversation with Jose to make an appointment with Azeel because Eric was feeling suicidal. And there's, like, records of Eric calling Dr. Azeel to make this appointment. But then after Eric had the conversation with Lyle about the sexual abuse, he canceled his appointment with Azeel.
Yeah, it's another small thing that sort of lines up well with their story. It's, like, tiny, and you could, like, make up another explanation for it, but it does sort of corroborate their version of events.
Another thing that, along those lines, after he had had his hairpiece torn off by Kitty, Lyle went to the hairpiece shop on that Thursday to, like, get new hair clips for his toupee because, like, Kitty had torn it off and he needed to fix it. It's just another thing that lines up with this story that they told. There wasn't a lot, at least from my view, like, there really isn't that much that disproves their story. There weren't really, like, little things that give me doubt about their story. Like, the little things make me believe their story more.
I think now we move on to Wednesday.
Eric and Lyle, like, went to lunch and had a conversation.
And we had lunch. We talked about the future. And
what did you talk about the future?
Just keeping spirits up that things are going to work out with Dad, and he was going to be with me. It looked like it was going to be Princeton at first. And his life was going to change. And that was the main thing we wanted. And basically just optimism about the fact that what choice did Dad have, and he was going to be free, and his life was going to change, and that it would be great for me to have him at Princeton, and I'd always wanted to be close to him. And there had been a conflict way back when I wanted Eric to go to Princeton with me, and Dad wouldn't allow that. I wouldn't even let him apply. He didn't want us together. So now we would be together, maybe.
Later on Wednesday, Lyle has a conversation with Kitty and essentially, like, tells her what Eric has said to him. Because I think in Lyle's mind, he probably saw it as, she doesn't want us around anyway, she's never wanted us, like, she just wants us out of the house so that she can have Jose all to herself. So he thinks, she's obviously going to want to, like, help us so that, like, we can leave.
Yeah. I think he also, his thought process was that Lyle and Jose had a very close relationship and that Kitty had always been jealous of that. And so Lyle thought that if Kitty thought that she could drive a wedge between Lyle and Jose, that, like, she would want to do that.
I talked to her in her bedroom and just told her, I remember telling her that there were going to be some changes with regards to Eric living in the house, probably, and possibly even going to live with me at Princeton. She wasn't understanding this, and I don't remember the whole conversation, but basically I said that I had to explain, and I said that Dad was doing things to Eric, that I had found that out. And she said, what things? And she got very angry, and I said, sexual things, and she just exploded again, similar to that she had Tuesday, and said that basically all I remember is she's saying that Eric's lying and coming toward me and saying, if I want to talk to my dad, I don't remember exact words, but basically that I was going to have to deal with my dad. She wasn't going to talk about it, and I couldn't get her to stay and talk about it, and so she left, and I just left.
Did you try to get her to stay and talk about it?
I continued talking to her, but when, you know, she was in a rage, you couldn't talk to her. I wasn't going to get close to her. And so afterwards, I told my brother I had a conversation with her, and it hadn't gone very well.
Did you tell him the details of the conversation?
Well, not really. I didn't tell him. I didn't tell him that I had actually told her what was going on between he and my dad.
Why didn't you tell him?
I felt it was a big mistake, basically, the conversation. And
why did you think it was a big mistake?
I mean, I thought it was risky going into the conversation. I didn't really want to. I was hoping that, you know, it would be helpful, and it turned out to be the opposite effect. And she was angry, and she was clearly going to go talk to my dad now in a different tone than I had wanted her to. And I just felt that my brother would think that it would have been stupid and very upset that now his mother knew.
There is actually technically some corroboration for this conversation actually happening. Like, do you want to talk about the Jose's mother thing?
Yeah, so that night, Jose was having dinner with his mother, and I believe she lives in New Jersey, or lived in New Jersey. And according to Lyle, his grandmother told him that on that Wednesday night, Kitty was calling Jose frantically when they were having dinner.
Well, how would he have known what you were going to talk to him about?
Because my mother spoke with him over the phone Wednesday night while he was at my grandmother's house, calling frantically.
Did you overhear your mother's portion of the conversation?
No, that's what my grandmother says.
What do you mean, that's what your grandmother said? Your grandmother has told you that your mother called the house on Wednesday, the 16th of August?
Right.
But your grandmother didn't tell you that between August the 16th and August the 17th, did she?
No.
Okay. So how would your father have known what you were going to talk to him about when he first came in the door?
Because my mother had spoken with him. Just because I didn't know about it doesn't mean it didn't happen. It did, because my grandmother said it did. So she spoke with him Wednesday night.
I think that we can kind of assume from this that Kitty told Jose that night that Lyle knew and that Lyle was going to try to get Eric out of the house. Their grandmother never testified, so...
She, like, refused to be, like, testify for either side, though, right?
Yeah. The way that we know this is through Lyle's testimony, so if you believe he's lying, then you probably don't believe that this happened either, but I think it's a very specific detail. I don't think that, like, he would make that up.
I mean, that only came up in his cross-examination as well, right?
Yeah.
The next day was Thursday. Eric has a tennis lesson with his coach, Mark Heffernan, in the morning. According to Eric's testimony, he had actually cut this lesson short because he had been feeling, like, pretty depressed and just not feeling great from the week's events so far.
Yeah, and also that he was nervous about Jose coming home that night and Lyle having this conversation with him.
Mark Heffernan doesn't mention that in his testimony, though, right? That Eric had cut the lesson short.
Right.
Yeah. One thing that Mark does mention, though, and it's, I think Leslie questions him about it, is that Eric did tell Mark that he'll call him on Sunday to make plans for basically next week's tennis lessons or future tennis lessons. I don't know, this is like one thing that I thought was interesting, because by this time, if there is like a plan to kill, you would think that like they know they're going to be killing their parents on the weekend. So why would he tell his tennis coach to like keep an eye out for like Eric's phone calls on Sunday? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the other part of it is like if they knew that they were going to be killing their parents on that Sunday, why would Eric then want to schedule tennis lessons for the next week?
Yeah, and also, like, if they knew that they were killing their parents on the Sunday, like, it's kind of dumb of Eric to be like, I'll call you on Sunday, Mark. Then Sunday comes, and Mark's like, I wonder why Eric hasn't phoned me all day.
Mm-hmm.
This is one thing that I think corroborates Eric's testimony, that he had spent like, that entire Sunday basically out of the house, right? And that's why he wouldn't have called Mark, because I'm assuming back then, like, cell phones didn't exist, or not in the way that they exist now. So it would have been a lot harder for Eric to contact Mark if he had spent the entire day out of the house, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that explains why Mark never received that phone call, I think. On top of all the other stuff that was happening, like, Eric wasn't at home to use a phone.
Right. So Thursday night, Jose got home from his business trip. Kitty told Lyle that Jose's flight was delayed.
Did he show up at the time that you expected?
No, my mother said his flight was postponed.
How'd that make you feel?
I didn't think she was telling me the truth, actually. So I didn't really feel anything other than that she was lying. I was confused by the time change, and I thought, because I just couldn't think of any reason why the flight would be delayed coming into L.A., and I just thought maybe she hadn't told me the real time, thinking I was going to leave and she was going to get to talk to Dad first. But then I thought she would probably just meet him at the airport and so on, so maybe that wasn't it. So I didn't really know what to think, but she did say it was changed to quite a bit later, like, I think somewhere around 11.
What effect did that have on you? Did it calm you down? Or?
No, I had another few hours, and I was already just, you know, wanting to get into the conversation with him and get through it, and it just made me more nervous. And my brother also called at some point, very nervous. He was in Westwood. He had left the house earlier with the understanding he would be in Westwood hanging out until I was done talking to Dad. He didn't want to be in the house. And so he called in to see what happened. I told him nothing. His flight's postponed till real late. So he said he would come back later.
Eventually, Jose arrives at home.
And my mother came into the foyer, and he came in like he always does, kind of like, you know, went over to say hello. Hello, Kitty, and like a hurricane, just bags all over the place, and real up in spirits. And he saw me, and I told him right away that I needed to talk to him. And he kind of looked at me, disappointed.
Jose says, okay, let me go get changed. He goes upstairs in his suit with Kitty, and then he doesn't come down for like 45 minutes. And when he comes down, he's still wearing his suit.
Which is odd. I mean, but that would imply that it's because, like, he was up there, like, discussing what was happening with Kitty that entire time, right?
Yeah.
And he just didn't change, yeah.
Came down in his suit and with his jacket off, and he just sat there and he lit a cigarette. And he waited.
Did he say anything, like, what's going on, or what do you need to talk to me about, or did he just sit there and wait?
No, he just waited.
And what did you do?
I waited, and we had this awkward period, just waiting for my dad to talk first, because he always does. Eventually I realized he wasn't, and so I just sort of went ahead with what I had planned to say as best I could.
What did you say?
Which was that I knew everything that was going on between him and Eric, and that it had to stop, and that it had to end, and that I didn't want to disrupt the family, and I wasn't going to tell anybody, but that there had to be some changes, and if I had to, we would come out of the house, we would leave the house, if he didn't want us to live there, but that we wanted to live there for now, and I wanted to take Eric to Princeton with me, and then maybe transfer to UCLA, and that this had to happen, and that I meant it.
How did you feel when you were telling him all this?
Sort of just really worrying about the words more than anything.
And did you say it all at one time like you did here, or did you say something and then he said something?
No, he didn't say anything. He was looking around the room, and he had his cigarette lit, and I remember he was playing with his ear like he does a lot.
Did he look at you at all during this?
Didn't look at me at all, which at some point I was sort of rambling, trying to get all the words out. At some point I realized I had finished saying what I was saying, and I stopped, and we had another silence. And then he said...
Did he continue looking around and playing with his ear during the silence? Or did he change?
Well, I don't remember, but at some point, once I stopped, he asked me if I was finished. And then I said that I was. And he put his cigarette... He had crossed his legs. His legs were crossed. He put his cigarette out. And then he started talking.
And did his position change, or did he just...
No, now he was looking at me. And he was basically looking down at me, so I was pretty far below him. Because this couch sort of, you sunk back in it. And he said what he said, which is...
What did he say?
Basically, he said, "You listen to me."
What was his tone of voice?
Very, his usual tone of voice when you had better understand what he was saying.
Can you do it? Can you imitate it?
Pretty well.
Can you show me?
He just said, "You listen to me." And
what else did he say? And if you can do it the way he said it to you.
I remember most of what he said. He said, "What I do with my son is none of your business." And he said, "I warn you, don't throw your life away. Just stay out of it." I remember that. And then he said something else, and then he said that, "Let me tell you what's going to happen." He said, "You're going back to Princeton, and your brother's going to UCLA like we planned, and we're going to forget this conversation ever took place."
I find this conversation is really interesting to me, the one that Lyle has with Jose in his... It's in his office, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because it's one of those moments, like, during the testimony where I feel like you can sort of see them... or in this case, you can see Lyle reliving, like, the scene in his head.
Yeah.
I feel like that happens a few times during the testimony, but this is, like, one of those times where I'm like, you can sort of see him re-experiencing what happened. Especially when Jill gets him to impersonate his dad.
And when he finished talking, what happened?
I interrupted him. He didn't get to finish talking. Oh, he started saying this, and I knew what was happening. It was just like our other conversations we had where he was just dismissing it. And I told him, I swore and told him he was a fucking sick person. And I told him no, and that he wasn't going to touch my brother again. And I threatened him.
How did you threaten him?
I told him that I would tell everybody everybody everything about him, and I would tell the police, and that I would tell the family. And I was yelling, and it was pretty, I may have said some more things and swore at him or something.
So one thing from Lyle's testimony about this conversation that I thought was interesting was he says something like, "I knew what was happening." It was like all of the other conversations we had where he was just dismissing it. And I thought it was interesting because it definitely seemed like from that comment that maybe he had had multiple conversations with his father about Jose molesting Eric. Maybe it was more than just when he was 13.
I mean, it is kind of implied as well with the way he says it. It kind of implies more than one, so...
I don't know. I just think it's the kind of thing that, like, no one ever followed up on it. I don't know, do you have any other thoughts about it?
Aside from the fact that, like, I think that it's possible that there were just more conversations about Eric with his dad, maybe, like, around the age of 13, more than what he just testified to. I think that's possible, but aside from that, no. I do think it's interesting, though. It's one of those things where it's, like, the prosecution doesn't really bring it up when they cross-examine him. And you'd think that's the sort of thing they'd be like, what do you mean? Like, what did you mean when you said, all the times before? Is there more that you didn't testify to?
I don't know. I just think there's a lot of detail that the prosecution missed following up with them on. I mean, nothing that, like, changes my mind about what I think happened, but you would think they would, like, take note of that and be like, this is inconsistent.
There's so much about the prosecution in the first trial where you're like, why did they not go harder? Like, it's like, even me as a person who's not a lawyer, I'm not trained in law in any way, got me thinking, like, are they really doing their best job here?
And as soon as
How are you feeling?
I was feeling like I was losing control of the conversation. It wasn't going to go well. I had a feeling it wasn't going to go well. And I also was bracing myself for a punch or something physical. And it seemed like he was going to do that when I was saying those things to him. So I don't think anybody had ever spoken to him like that in his whole life.
Were you pretty out of control when you were?
I was pretty.
Did you do it on purpose, or had you lost control?
No, I had lost control because my brother and I had discussed me not threatening him, if at all possible, and I didn't really think that I was going to have to, and I ended up just doing it, and that was a mistake.
So you're screaming at him, you're telling him he's sick, and you're going to tell everybody.
Right.
What's he doing while you're doing this?
Well, he seemed like he was going to attack me in some way, or I don't know. He was leaning forward. His legs are uncrossed.
One thing I found really interesting from Lyle's testimony about this is that he talks about how his dad was leaning forward and his legs were uncrossed, and Lyle thought Jose was going to attack him, which I found really interesting because that totally plays into, like, the hypervigilance and how long-term abuse victims, like, learn cues from their abusers of, like, when they're going to be abused. So, like, to Lyle, Jose sitting there leaning forward with his legs open was, like, a sign that he was about to get violent.
Yeah, but he said that, like, that didn't last, like, that long, right? That was when, like, Jose sort of, like, something changed, and then he sort of reverted back, right?
That's basically all I remember. And then after I threatened him, his demeanor changed pretty drastically.
How did it change?
He sort of relaxed, he sat back, and he just sort of looked at me, and that made me stop. Because he seemed so relaxed.
What happened after you stopped?
Then he said, we all make choices in life, son. Eric made his, and you've made yours. And then he just looked at me, and he got up to leave.
What did you think?
I thought, oh my God, he thinks I'm going to tell people, regardless. I knew what he was thinking, and I told him, I started pleading with him before he left. I got up and said, Dad, you know, I'm only going to tell people if you don't stop touching Eric, if it doesn't stop. And he just looked at me and said, you're going to tell everyone anyway. And he left. And I sat back down, thinking that it was a disaster, and that my brother was in, I had just made it 100 times worse.
What did you think was going to happen?
I thought we were in danger. I thought he felt he had no choice.
But to what?
That he would kill us. That he would get rid of us in some way.
Why?
Because he thought I was going to ruin him.
Again, I think that's interesting as well, because that's like that's not necessarily like an overt threat, right? To Lyle, that meant that was like an obvious threat, but to any of us, it's just like, okay, what does that mean? Like, that's not like a very obvious like threat of, oh, yes, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, and I also think, like, if they were gonna lie about all of these things that happened, like, this is sort of the beginning of the brothers feeling afraid, which was like the basis for their defense, was that because of things that their parents said and did from this Thursday conversation to Sunday when they killed them, the brothers felt afraid of the parents. And if that was a lie, why didn't he just say, my father said, well, then I'm gonna fucking kill you, and then left?
Because that's a more overt... I feel like it's the more obvious sort of thing as well. Like, if you were trying to say that, oh, yeah, like, I felt afraid for my life, that would be easily believable. Especially from someone like Jose, who has been characterized through the entire trial as someone who was intimidating, who was terrifying to adults, who was aggressive, and basically, like, he sounds like a psycho. So it would be a very easy thing for Lyle to basically just said at the end, oh yeah, at the end of the conversation, like, he got up and said, I'm gonna fucking kill you. Like, that's more of a, like, an obvious overt threat, I think.
Yeah. Their defense was based on imperfect self-defense, which was, like, an honest but unreasonable belief that your life is in danger. Like, their basis for that was that the parents didn't overtly say, I'm going to kill you, because if they had said that, then it would have been a reasonable belief that they were going to kill them. And it would have been possible for the brothers to say that their parents did make direct threats to them, and then it would have been perfect self-defense, which, if the jury believed it, would have meant they would get no jail time. But instead, they went with, they didn't say anything directly, but we thought that what they were saying meant that they were going to do this. So it's like, if this was all made up, they could have just gone all the way with perfect self-defense.
Yeah. It's the judge who decides what a jury is allowed to vote on at the end, right? So, like, in the second trial, like, they wouldn't allow manslaughter for Kitty, right?
Yeah.
I remember in Leslie's closing, she says that, like, unfortunately, because of the judge's, like, rulings, like, I'm not going to be able to argue to you perfect self-defense, which is... And she, like, she said she was disappointed that she couldn't.
Because perfect self-defense would be that their belief was reasonable.
Yeah. I feel like that would be a really interesting argument to try and argue perfect self-defense in this case. Because I feel like you could argue it. I don't know. I feel like you could argue that the threats were genuine, you know, and that, like, it was reasonable for them to be afraid, right?
Yeah, I think that if this case happened today, their attorney would have a decent argument that it was perfect self-defense, because the unreasonable part of it comes from that a normal person would not consider it a threat.
And it's to do with, like, the reasonableness of, like, a normal person, not someone who has been abused for, like, their lifetime, basically.
Yeah, I mean, in the US legal system, there's, like, this premise of a reasonable man, where it's, like, essentially what a normal person would do or would think under the circumstances. But obviously, that's a very subjective concept. Like, So I think that in today's climate of, like, how much people now know about abuse and, like, how it affects someone, I think that they could have made an argument that it was reasonable for them to believe that their parents were going to kill them under the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was reasonable because of how they knew their parents.
Yeah. I think that's where, like, the issue comes in, like, with the reasonable man stuff, is that, like, it's because of their, like, special knowledge and who they are and their relation to their parents as to why they would be afraid. But the average random person, like, it wouldn't be reasonable for that person to be afraid.
I think that from Lyle's life experience, it was perfectly reasonable for him to take what Jose said to him in that conversation as a direct threat on his life.
Yeah. Oh, that suddenly, like, his interview with Chris Cuomo popped into my head.
What do you remember being told by your mother, by your father, their actions that made you feel that your life may be in danger?
Well, my father was telling me that a couple days before that that I had made my decision in terms of siding with Eric and wanting to threaten to expose him, and he was now forced to make his own decisions about what to do about that. And I asked him if that's a threat, and he said, you take it for what it is. And I know my father. I know what that means. He's basically suggesting that he isn't going to go through a child molestation trial. He would rather go through a murder trial than a child molestation trial. And I have no doubt that that's what he would prefer.
Like, that really stuck out to me. And that's in an interview, like, what, 30 years later?
Yeah. So one thing that came up in our video that we did about Jose and Kitty's relationship was that the defense team had a theory that at one point Kitty had threatened to expose Jose for molesting their sons.
She basically used it. Their theory was that she had some sort of blackmail over him. Essentially, like, in the last few years, the short version of it is Jose seemed to be a lot more caring towards Kitty and more appeasing of her manic behavior, I would say.
The theory of the defense attorneys was that the reason for this was that Kitty basically, like, blackmailed him into staying in the marriage by threatening to expose him.
Yeah.
Some of you were asking about why we thought that Jose had backed down from Kitty's threats, but he didn't back down from Lyle's threats. I think you had responded to those comments. Do you want to talk about your theory about this?
Yeah, like, Jose would have viewed Kitty differently in that she was necessary to him. Like, he needed her as his wife. I mean, you got to think about, like, who Kitty was as well. Like, he didn't just pick some random girl. Like, she was everything that represented success to him in America. That's what I think, at least. She was beautiful. She was a pageant queen, right? Or something like that. And I think, like, she was to him, like, someone that he needed to be, like, the homemaker and proof that he was a successful American. I think he knew that Kitty was, like, obsessed with him, and that, like, at the end of the day, she wasn't actually going to do anything, but, like, he needed her. He didn't need the brothers, especially because he knew how he had treated them and how much older they were getting. I think he saw them as, like, a bigger threat.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that, like, it just came down to he knew that Kitty would never actually follow through on it because of, like, how obsessed she was with him. Like, he knew that she would never actually, like, go through with the threat. And especially because she had known for a long time. But then with Lyle, him just learning about this, I think he didn't know that Lyle wouldn't actually go tell people.
Yeah. Sort of like what I said in the comment as well, like, it was also, like, the first time that Lyle had, like, really stood up to his father like that. Do you know when Lyle's describing that confrontation, and he says that, like, Jose sort of, like, got up as if he was going to attack him, and then sat back down, right? I think that's because at first Jose was, like, so angry and, like, shocked that Lyle would be confronting him about it, but I think in his head he sort of calculated, what is the best play here? Like, what do I do here that is, like, going to bring the best outcome for me? And I think he realized that if he, like, hit Lyle or was threatening to him, then it would push Lyle further into wanting to, like, just straight up leave with Eric. And then but because he, like, sort of sat back down and sort of, like, calmed himself and, like, was a bit more, like, ominous about it, I think he thought that would be a better tool to control Lyle with.
Yeah. I mean, I think it just came down to, like, he knew that he had Kitty under control, but I think that with Lyle, like, he knew that he needed to, like, play him, sort of, to get mm-hmm. him back under control. And that's, like, what he was doing with, I think he was doing with his, like, ominous threats. Like, he wanted to keep Lyle on his toes.
Yeah. Because I think, like, whereas Jose would see Lyle as, like, basically, like, his tool and, like, someone that he could use and mold and shape in whatever way that he wanted. Whereas I think Lyle saw Jose not as an equal, but, like, really, like, his mentor and someone that he really looked up to and was extremely close to.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think Jose knew that as well. So I think that when this confrontation happened, I think he realized that, like, he was probably like close to losing Lyle as like his object.
Yeah.
Anyways, next is the situation with Eric and his room, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then either during the conversation or shortly after, Eric returned home and he was in his bedroom and Jose like started pounding on the door, screaming at Eric to let him in. Eric lets him in and Jose like physically attacked him.
So when he came into the room on this occasion, what was the first thing that happened?
He started yelling at me.
Can you give us generally what he was saying?
He was saying that he had told me never to tell Lyle, and that he had warned me not to do that, and now he said that Lyle was going to tell everyone, and that it was my fault, and now Lyle was going to tell everyone, and he was not going to let that happen.
He was not going to let what happen?
He said he wasn't going to let Lyle tell... Well, he didn't say he wasn't going to let Lyle anyone. He just said he wasn't going to let that happen. Lyle telling anyone.
Now, you say he said he told you in the past what?
Well, he had told me never, ever to tell anyone.
And did he ever tell you what the consequence would be of telling anyone?
He would kill me.
But again, it wasn't, now Lyle's going to tell everyone and I'm going to kill both of you.
Mm-hmm.
It was how Eric interpreted what his father said.
Yeah. And then, like, I think Jose went to, like, grab him when he was on the bed or something, and then like he managed to like swerve out of the way, and that's when he ran downstairs and then went into the den, which is where he saw Kitty on the couch, right?
Yeah.
I believe Eric says like he wasn't sure, but like he thinks that because of the way like Kitty was like slurring her words, that she had either been drinking or maybe had like taken something. But Eric runs into the den crying.
And did she say anything to you? Did she make any comment to you?
Yeah, she said, "What's the matter with you?"
And what did you respond to her when she said that?
Yeah, I said, "No, nothing. You won't understand."
You said?
I said, "No, nothing. You won't understand."
And did she say anything to that?
Yeah, she said something like, "Oh, I understand. I understand a lot more than you think."
And what did you say when you heard? Well, first of all, what did you think when you heard that?
I couldn't... I thought that she was saying that she knew what was happening between Dad and I, but I couldn't... I thought I had it wrong. And so I said, what do you mean? What do you mean you understand? What do you understand? And I couldn't understand.
And what did she say?
Well, she said, "Oh, I know. I've always known. You think I'm stupid?" She was real snide. I think she was either... I think she had been drinking and was real...
Sarcastic.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit understated, like, how impactful that is for him. When I rewatched Eric Tells All, I realized, like, how impactful that moment was for him when he says that, like, after his mum says that to him, and he realizes that, like, his mum has, like, known the entire time.
I ran into the den, and my mom is there. And she said, "What's the matter with you?" And she was either drinking or something, was slurring her words, and I said, "Nothing, nothing, you wouldn't understand." Then she said, "Oh, I understand a lot more than you think. You know, I've always known." I just stopped. I said, what do you mean by that?" And she said, "What, do you think I'm stupid?" I just screamed, "I hate you. I hate you." It became clear to me that Dad was not going to let me get away, and that Mom had always known. It kind of just shattered everything. That was the moment I knew that my parents were going to kill me.
I think he then leaves out the back of the den doors and towards Lyle's guest house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when, like, Kitty starts chasing him and saying, like, "You bastard, get back here. Don't speak to me that way." Eric runs into the guest house, goes up the stairs while he's, like, shouting and saying, like, Mum knows. And then there's a big confrontation with, I think Eric is like behind Lyle, and then Lyle and Kitty start arguing.
I confronted her. Just, I reacted from what Eric said and just accused her and said, how can you not have done anything? How could you have known?
What did you say? I mean, were you saying it calmly like you are now, or?
No, I was yelling, too. You had to yell to get anything in when my mother was in that state. And so I was yelling.
What were you yelling?
Something to the effect of, how could you not have done anything? How could you know? I don't remember the exact words. And she immediately said that I knew. I had known what was going on. She said nobody ever helped her. And then...
Did you know what she meant by that? Nobody ever helped her?
No. Although I could guess.
What do you think she was thinking about when she said that?
I think that there's a lot of speculation that you could make from that.
Isn't that, like, that's not true as well, though? Eric tried to help her by calling Lyle when she was, like, suicidal, right? Over the affair. And then Lyle wanted her to leave.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's, like, we've talked a bit about this, but, like, her narcissism. That, like, despite the fact that both of her sons had, like, repeatedly tried to help her escape her terrible, abusive marriage, she was still like, nobody ever helped me, so why should I help anyone?
Mm-hmm.
Then I said something about that I, how could she say that I knew and I didn't do anything, and we were yelling, and at that point she just said she hated us and swore at us and called us a bastard and just ran out of the room and wrecked down the stairs.
So then the brothers, like, start talking, and Eric starts saying, like, they're gonna kill us, Dad's gonna kill us, like... The brothers then shared what had happened to each of them that day. So Lyle tells Eric about his conversation with Jose, and Eric tells Lyle about Jose confronting him in his room.
I was really panicking. I was crying and getting hysterical, and Lyle was trying to calm me down. But I would look at him, and he looked afraid, and that just got me worse, because if Lyle was afraid, I was really afraid. And so he was just saying, it's going to be okay, we'll think, don't worry about it, and trying to calm me down.
Essentially what happens is that Lyle started saying, we should leave the house. And Eric immediately was like, I can't do that.
I said, you know, we need to get out of the house. You know, he clearly felt they were going to kill us. I believed the same thing. And we just had to get out of the house. And he immediately said that he couldn't. And that would be the craziest thing to do. And that he wasn't going to just run away, and let Dad find him and kill him. Just the, you know, I asked him why he felt that, and he looked at me like I was crazy with the Dad's power and who he was and who my mother was, that where were we going to go? And he kept asking me that in a very, like, how could I think that way? Where are we going to go? Where are we going to hide? And we started to talk about it, and I agreed pretty quickly that there was no place that my parents could not find us, and that would, running away, since we decided that we couldn't be positive that they were going to kill us, and we didn't certainly know when or how, and that might be safer to stay in the house and not... You know, not bring it to a head by running away.
How would it bring it to a head if your parents found that you were gone the next morning? How would that bring it to a head?
Well, obviously, I just felt that if I took off with my brother and we were gone past the evening, he would think I was, you know, that would be the, you know, he would immediately think I was telling people. Wasn't even going to wait.
They basically had a conversation about what their options were. Lyle was like, we could go to the family, but then Eric said he didn't think that anyone would actually stand up to Jose, and that, like, he didn't think that anyone in their family would be able to protect them from him.
Did you think that you could go to your relatives and tell them that your father was a child molester and have them protect you?
Definitely not.
Why?
Because you just didn't... you just didn't stand up to my dad. My relatives certainly weren't going to stand up to my dad like that and hide us out or keep us. They admired my dad. My dad was the big figure in the family. He was the successful, admired one. And he was also the feared one. And you didn't disobey him, really.
So you didn't think any of them would stand up to him?
No, they wouldn't have.
You didn't think anybody would oppose, any of them would oppose him?
No.
They talked about going to the police, but then decided that they didn't think that the police would be either able or willing to help them.
We just felt, you know, we could go to the police and explain to them the situation, but what could they do? I mean, they might press charges against my dad, and then we would be through for sure. And, you know, then that would be trying to ruin him. And I didn't feel the police could protect us. But it was certainly, you know, we talked about it very briefly, but seriously, and then just felt that, mostly we felt that if I went to the police, that they would kill us for sure, and that the police would not be able to protect us. And also, you know, we're in Beverly Hills. My dad was a rich guy and with a lot of power, and there was some concern that, not that they wouldn't believe us, but that they wouldn't do anything.
What about just running away, going and living in a foreign country?
Well, we just didn't feel that we could do that.
Why?
Because we didn't feel that it was safe. We felt that he could find us. My dad flies all over the world. And it was more than that. It was more than just the money and the flying and stuff. It was that I felt my dad had the connections to find us and to get rid of us. And if we ran away, he could do that at his leisure. And, you know, he could just tell a story that we ran away for whatever reasons. People would believe that, and we would disappear. And that seemed like a horrible idea. After we had talked about it, I agreed completely that it was the worst idea, and we should stay in the house, where it might be more difficult to just kill us without anyone knowing, and we would at least know where they are. And maybe they would never do it. That was another thing we talked about, and that I hoped.
So they basically, like, rule out any other option and decide that they need to try to protect themselves. So they decide that the next day they'll go buy guns.
So where did the conversation with your brother Lyle lead to Thursday night?
It led to us having to buy guns. Led to Lyle saying, we got to protect ourselves. We got to do something. Because I kept eliminating all of his options.
Okay, he was coming up with options.
Yeah, I was pretty much just crying and doing whatever I was doing. And he was saying, well, what if we could do this? Well, what if we do that? And he said, calm down, we'll work it out. And I was just not being very helpful.
Did you think any of the options would work?
No.
So a decision was made to try to protect yourselves yourself. Is
yes.
that it?
One thing that makes me believe the, like, fear aspect of this case is that if they wanted to go with a, like, revenge killing or, like, heat of passion, they could have said that all the things, like, that Kitty revealed that she had always known about the sexual abuse and, like, all this was happening. I think that would have made, like, a decent enough defense, you know?
On that line of thought, I think of where they could have, like, argued something, like, more heat of passion in, like, the first trial is if they had just moved that revelation to the night of the killings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, in the argument where, like, they were told that they couldn't leave. I think if that happened then, I think they would have had a very good argument for heat of passion.
Yeah. I think that one thing with the, like, imperfect self-defense defense is that I'm sure that there were more emotions going on in their heads that weekend than just fear. But, like, they focus so much on the fear in the trial that, like, in a way, I feel like it almost hurt them because the idea of, like, the fear-based defense doesn't, like, logically make as much sense as like heat of passion or like anger.
To a normal person, at least. When I say normal, I mean someone who hasn't been abused.
Right, like to a jury.
You killed your father, who was molesting you. Why did you kill your mother?
On Thursday night before, in one of the explosions, I was running downstairs and I was crying. And my mother was on the couch and she had been drinking. And she said, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "Nothing, nothing, you wouldn't understand." And she said, "Oh, I understand. What do you think, I'm stupid?" And she told me that she knew, that she had known all my life what my father was doing. And it was like I didn't even know who she was anymore. And I just saw Dad and Mom as the same person at that point. I saw them as a single person.
And really the first time that this secret about what was happening with Dad and Eric was discussed openly in the family in a very angry way. I don't know about Eric, but I completely lost control myself. And I didn't separate. I knew my mother and my father. It was just adrenaline and fear and anger.
Lost control.
There is no explanation.
Yeah, so like, I think that it's possible that Lyle might have decided to kill both parents after this revelation.
Do you know when Kitty like chases Eric into Lyle's guest house and they have that big argument?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it was like after that. And that is the day before they went and bought guns, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it could have been a combination of things, though. Like, it's like, oh yeah, we're getting these guns just in case to protect ourselves, but also, I kind of want to kill them. It logically flows that way a lot. It's a lot more, like, easily digestible.
Yeah, it's like a lot more complicated. Like, realizing that your father has been sexually abusing your brother for 12 years, and then that your mother has known about it the entire time, just having so many emotions going on about all of it, like, not to mention, like, his own trauma from his childhood. I think it's, like, unimaginable how complex, like, psychologically it was for him. And, like, I don't think there's, like, one legal defense that could, like, capture all of that, you know?
Yeah. Our next episode is part 2 of the events of the last week.